We'll continue this morning in 1 John as we've been going through in our study of 1 John. We're in the last chapter, 1 John chapter 5. Our text this morning is 1 John 5 verses 1 through 5. Short text today, verses 1 through 5, as we only will have possibly two more messages from 1 John. So as we continue through 1 John, you can turn to 1 John 5, verses 1 through 5. But before we read our text, I would like to start today with reading a paragraph from William Barclay's book. The book is The Letters of John and Jude. Barclay says this: "We have a defense to resist the infections of the world. On all sides, there is pressure of worldly standards and motives. On all sides, the fascinations of the wrong things. From within and without come the temptations which are part of the human situation in this world, in a society not interested in and sometimes hostile to God. But once we are aware of the presence of God in Jesus Christ, ever with us, we have a strong prevention against the infections of the world. It is a fact of experience that goodness is easier in the company of good people. And if we believe in the incarnation, we have the continual presence of God in Jesus Christ. We have a strength to endure the attacks of the world. The human situation is full of things which seek to take our faith away. There are the sorrows and the perplexities of life. There are the disappointments and the frustrations of life. There are for most of us failures and discouragements of life. But if we believe in the incarnation, we believe in a God who himself went through all this, even the cross, and who can therefore help others who are going through it." Barclay goes on to say, "We have the indestructible hope of final victory. The world did its worst to Jesus. It hounded him and it slandered him. It branded him a heretic and a friend of sinners. It judged him. It crucified him and buried him. It did everything humanly possible to eliminate him. And it failed. After the cross came the resurrection. After the shame came glory. That is the Jesus who is with us, one who saw life at its grimmest, to whom life did its worst, who died, who conquered death, who suffered, and who offers us a share in that victory, which with him, if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we have with us always Christ the Victor to make us victorious." I wanted to read that to begin today because that is the message of our passage. The message that we are going to look at today, the title this morning is Victory in Faith. Victory in Faith. We can have victory today. Let's see John has to say about love, faith, and obedience as we look into the fifth chapter of 1 John. So I'll read our text this morning, 1 John 5, 1 through 5. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" John focuses on fundamental elements that are very important to the knowledge of God. He focuses on faith, love, and obedience in this passage. Disobedience to God's will is a tragedy, but so is reluctant, complaining obedience. God does not want us to disobey him, but he does not want us to obey out of fear or out of necessity as well. This is very popular false teaching and a distortion of the truth that we must obey out of fear and out of obligation to a holy and angry God. We know that this is not true, for we know God is love. And in his love, he acted on that love and sent his Son, his only Son, to be our propitiation for sin, that we may be forgiven and have eternal life with him. No, we do not obey out of fear or obligation, but we are to be joyful and willingly obeying him. What is the secret to this joyful obedience? We are serving a loving Father, love our brother and sisters in Christ. We have been born of God. We love God, and we also love God's children. We demonstrate or show this love by keeping God's commandments and obeying him. It is a family. And we love our spiritual family just as we love our family here on earth. We show our love to God, not by words, but by willing obedience. We are children obeying a loving Father. John starts this chapter echoing what he has already said in this book. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. We know we love because God first loved us. Also, our belief is possible because we have been born of God. Believing in Jesus is a direct result of our having been born of God. And this becomes the proof of that birth in Christ. John then goes on to say, whoever loves the Father will also love those that have been born of God, their brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you see the progression in this verse? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. We know John, in this letter, has given different tests or ways to prove something. This is one of those tests to know if you are born of God. If you are born of God, if you are a child of God, then you believe that Jesus is the Christ. We know the significance of this statement. This is one of the main points John has been reinforcing as he is overcoming the false teachers and the spirit of Antichrist in the world. We know the false teachers were teaching that Jesus did not come to this world in the flesh, and John has been faithful to teach what we have heard from the beginning. What we have heard from the beginning is that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus did come to this world, fully God and fully man. We also know, in love, he came to die on the cross for you and for me. In him, this love is manifested. In verse 2, we come to the evidence of love. Verse 2 says this, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. This verse is the opposite of what we have seen already in this letter. We would expect this verse to say, by this we know that we love God when we love the children of God and obey his commandments, as that is what has been said already. But that is not what John wrote. He said, by this we know that we love the children of God. We know we have already heard that we cannot love God if we do not love his children. So here we see it is not possible to love the children of God without loving God as well. If someone claims he loves his brother and sister in Christ and not God, he has not truly recognized his brothers as one born of God, and has not offered him the true love that comes from the Father. G.G. Finley said, if love to men proves the worth of our love to God, love to God proves the worth of our love to men. We see the connection at the end of verse 2. With love for God and obeying his commandments, this continues in verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. The connection between love for God and obedience is a way to protect against thinking of love for God as a feeling or as words about God. True love requires action, we've talked about. As we said, Christ to the cross, man's love in action is a life of willing obedience, a relationship of sonship with God, and service on behalf of God. We are no longer living for ourselves. We are no longer living for our own will or our own pleasures. We are living for the will and pleasures of a holy, loving God. John then goes on to say in verse 3, and his commandments are not burdensome. To the unbeliever, the will of God is not natural. The requirement for righteousness is hard and different. Even the law of love is strange and foreign. But in faith at salvation, when God has entered into us, and when we trust God's Son, then his yoke is gentle and the burden is light, as Matthew 11:30 tells us. We have been born of God. We have within us a desire and a longing for the Father. Seeking and hungering after righteousness becomes our joy. Living a life of love becomes our delight. The commands of God bring us freedom and liberty. We are living for. They are not cumbersome or burdensome. They are always a way of life that we gladly live in faith, abiding in the Father. We're going to look at 3 points that we find in verse 3 and 4 of this passage. First, the love of God is expressed in obedience to his commandments. It's expressed with a spirit that does not act burdensomely. The standard of love for God is joyful obedience, not begrudging obedience or burdensome obedience. Then the second thing we see in these two verses is the basis of this unburdening obedience is the power of the new birth to overcome the world. The first part of verse 4 tells us, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. Our love for God leads us to obey him freely and joyfully. We can do this because in the new birth, in being born of God, the hold or the power of the world is broken and it loses its power over us. When the world loses its power, when it loses its attraction because we are born of God, God and his holy will become our desire. It is not burdensome. The third point we see is found in the second half of verse 4. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The defeating power that breaks the hold of sin to this world and makes the will of God not burdensome is our faith. Our victory is a result of faith. We grow in faith as we grow in love. The more you love someone, the easier it is to trust them. The more you love for Christ, the more our love for Christ is perfected, the more our faith in Christ is perfected as well. Faith and love grow and mature together. We have seen the word overcome already from John in this book. In chapter 2, John talks about overcoming the evil one, the devil. Now here we see, because we have been born of God, we are overcomers. To be born of God means we share in God's victory. We have victory because we have faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the person who overcomes the world, is the person who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. It is not faith in ourselves that gives us victory. We know that we are fallen, sinful people. We know that in our own power, we are helpless and hopeless. We have no hope in our own strength. We have no hope in man. Our opening reading from last Sunday was Psalm 118. And verses 8 and 9 of Psalm 118 say this: "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." We know there are verses after verse talking about how weak the flesh is and how strong the Lord is. We cannot have victory in ourselves. We cannot have victory in our own strength. It is faith in Christ that gives us the victory. We identify with Christ in victory. This reminds us of the times that we have read in John's letter, "as he is." Just last week in chapter 4, verse 17, says, "Because as he is, so also are we in this world." Also in chapter 1 and verse 7, when we talk about walking in the light, it says, "We walk in the light as he is in the light." Chapter 2 and verse 6 also says, "He abides in him. He who abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." As a child of Christ, being born of God, we identify as one of his children. And because of our position in Christ, we can in faith claim the victory over this world. But the key is faith. Faith has always been God's key in victory. The great men and women named in Hebrews 11 all won their victories by faith. They took God at his word and acted on it. And he honored their faith and gave them victory. Faith is not simply saying what God says is true. True faith is acting on what God says because it is true. As we have said, victory in faith is a result of maturing love. The more we come to know and love Jesus Christ, the easier it is to trust him with the battles and the needs of life. It is very important that maturing love becomes a constant and a practical thing in our everyday lives. We must grow and mature in our love and in our faith. In our study of James many, many weeks ago, we talked about Abraham in James chapter 2 and verse 23. James used Abraham's life as an example in that passage. Abraham was a friend of God. He separated himself from the world and did what God wanted him to do. We know he was not perfect, but when he sinned, he confessed and went back to walking with God. As we grow, and as we separate ourselves from the world, as we progress on our Christian walk and grow closer to God, as we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have victory over the world through faith. As we read the word, as we abide in the word and have fellowship with God's people, his children, we grow and mature in our faith. Our conversations will be more meaningful. Our life will be filled with love, not hate. Our desires will be his desires. We will find that his commandments, as we said, are not weighing us down, but changed into his image, changed into his nature. Our old nature, the world's nature, will pass away, and we will abide in him, and in his love, and in his victory. We will realize that our relationship with Christ is becoming a deeper and fuller relationship in love for Christ love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Our deepening relationship will lead us to love deeper. We know from 1 John 4 that we love him because he first loved us. Abiding in the Word is so vital to our growth. The Word of God reveals his love to us, and the indwelling Spirit of God makes this love more and more real to us. This love is shown in our daily obedience to him and his Word. Christian love is not an emotion. It is a dedication to pleasing and following Christ and to do his will. The more we know him and abide in him, the more we will love him, and the more we love him, the more we will become like him as he is. As God's love is perfected in us, we have confidence in him, and we do not live in fear. As we talked about last week, there is no need to fear in love. There's no need to fear in faith because we know we have victory in faith. We find that living in love and joyful obedience, we are able to face the world with victorious faith and to overcome the world, not to be overcome by the world. We do this by reading the Word, meditating on the Word, worshiping Christ in prayer, and praising him for his great grace that he has given to his children. We can see the progression from John in what he says about how victory over the world is gained. It begins with the new birth, the starting act of God. It then moves on to the believers experiencing an act of faith. Then it culminates in the confession that Jesus is the Son of God. We see this in verse 5. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This victory we have in faith, faith in Jesus Christ, requires the whole process. The victory assures us that we can love God and love the children of God, and also that we can obey his commandments. Belief, love, and obedience are the marks of being born of God. The life of being born of God and being his child is not burdensome, but a life of joyful celebration. The victory we have in faith over this world is a victory over those who go against Christian beliefs and against Christian standards. Those who would want to corrupt the soul and discourage a life of love and obedience to God. It is a victory over false teachers who are controlled by the spirit of Antichrist. Their goal is to corrupt the church, to corrupt the church of God, to teach a false gospel, and to lead the faithful away from the truth. Praise the Lord. And through his Holy Spirit, we know the truth that we have been taught from the beginning. The confession of that truth, the confession that gives us victory, is the confession that Jesus is the Son of God. This confession is what John started this letter with and is also where he will end it. A life dedicated and walking in the light. A life dedicated to loving God and loving your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. The foundation of our belief in God and knowledge of him depends on the relationship and obedience, the confession that Jesus is the eternal life that was with the Father. He is the Son of God who was from the beginning. This confession defeats the false teachers who acknowledge Christ the Redeemer, but they deny his identity as man. They deny his true humanity and true godhood. We have victory over sin and over this world through faith. Faith in a holy and loving God who manifests his love to us by sending his only Son to the cross that we may have victory through him alone. Do you have victory over this world today? It is very easy to feel discouraged and defeated. in this world. But our holy and loving God gives us victory over the world. Put your faith and trust in Him today. And if you are a believer and you are feeling defeated, look to the God of love and abide in Him. And in Him will you find victory. And in Him will you find love. And as you grow in that love, you will grow in your faith and you will have victory as you walk in the light, as He is in the light. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we praise You, for we have victory in You. Lord, we praise You that we confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Lord, it is what we have heard from the beginning. And Lord, today we worship You for the faith that we have that gives us victory. Lord, help us to grow in faith. Lord, help us to grow in our love and in our obedience to You. And as we grow in love and obedience, Lord, we will grow in faith. And as we grow in faith, we will have victory over this world. Lord, we pray that we will have victory over temptation. We will have victory over sin as we seek to follow You, as we seek to live a life walking in the light as You are in the light. Lord, give us the grace that we need every day to live a life of victory, to live a life of faith in You. Lord, as we know, nothing we do in our own strength will give us victory. Lord, nothing we can do in ourselves, trusting in another man, nothing will give us victory in faith, but only our faith and trust in You. Lord, help us to grow in that faith. Help us, Lord. Help us to look to You. Help us to abide in Your word. As we know, we grow by reading Your word, by living in Your word, by abiding in Your word and abiding in You. Lord, I pray You'd go with us today. Lord, I pray You'd be with us. Help us to live a life of faith and not a life of fear. Lord, we pray this in Your name. Amen.